Imagine waking up, putting on a virtual reality headset to play a quick game, and realizing a hacker hasn't just stolen your password.
Yeah, they've taken a lot more than that.
Exactly. They've downloaded your subconscious reactions, your attention span, and, your emotional state.
It's terrifying.
It is. And now they are holding your actual biological cognitive clarity for ransom. I mean, it sounds like the plot of a sci-fi thriller.
Right, it totally
But
does.
according to this massive, like, 5-day avalanche of tech leaks we are looking at today, we are effectively one step away from that becoming reality.
It is a profound shift. We are looking at a stack of articles from the Tech and Game blog, specifically chronicling May 5th through May 9th, 2026. And when you synthesize this information, you realize we are no longer just talking about video game updates or, minor tech releases. This is a complete collision course.
Okay, let's unpack this because my goal is to help you, the listener, decode this rapid-fire stack of news.
Yeah, there's a lot to get through.
There really is. What used to be a simple hobby of picking up a controller is, well, it's mutating into this high-stakes frontier where artificial intelligence, next-gen hardware, cybersecurity, and our own human biology are all just slamming together.
Slamming together is the perfect way to put it.
Let's start with the first major theme from the sources. What the Tekken blog calls the invisible workforce. We are seeing the incredibly quiet integration of AI into literally the foundation of the internet.
Yeah. The blog highlights Google Chrome executing a secret AI download in the background of users' browsers.
Which is wild.
It is. We are reading about AI CEOs taking the helm of companies, and then there are these tools being pushed to developers, like Cursor IDE and Windsurf.
Right.
The blog refers to them as agentic AI.
I have to stop right there and ask for some clarity because if I ask a standard AI chatbot to write me some code, it just spits out text, right?
Right.
So how is an agentic AI any different? Like, why are the sources calling them invisible employees?
Well, the distinction lies in autonomy. A standard AI is passive. It waits for your prompt, gives you an answer, and stops. You are the one who has to take that code, paste it into your project, test it, and, fix the errors.
You still have to do the work.
Exactly. Agentic AI, like Cursor or Windsurf, operates in a continuous, active loop. You don't just ask it a question, you give it an objective.
Wow, okay.
It writes the code, realizes there's a bug, writes a patch for the bug, tests the patch, and implements the final feature into the software architecture, all without you pressing another button. It is a worker, not a tool.
It's like hiring a ghostwriter who suddenly decides they want to be the CEO of the publishing company.
That is a great analogy.
They don't just want to draft the chapters, they want to edit the book, publish it, and dictate the entire corporate strategy while you
So
sign.
now that is the exact mechanism driving this shift.
Yeah.
And when you scale that up to the corporate level, you get the concept of an AI CEO, an algorithm that doesn't just analyze data, but actively makes high-level strategic decisions, allocates budgets, and optimizes resources without human fatigue.
But human workers are certainly feeling the friction. I mean, the sources point to a historic labor strike at Ubisoft over this exact issue.
Yeah, the AI strike.
What is the fundamental tension there?
What's fascinating here is the economic motivation.
Yeah.
If we look at it impartially, we are seeing the collision of two major economic forces. Corporate leadership is pushing for unprecedented efficiency.
Because they want to save money.
Exactly. They want to automate the creation of digital art, coding, and massive world building to cut costs. On the other side, the human labor force, the developers, the artists, the writers, are pointing out that digital entertainment has historically relied entirely on human creativity and passion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they are striking for job security in a medium where an agentic AI can generate 1,000 background assets in the time it takes a human artist to sketch one.
And the bizarre thing is, the AI isn't just making the art, it's now consuming the art. Let's look at the great gaming media scandal that broke on May 7th. Major media outlets were caught using AI critics to write fake game reviews. I read that and my brain almost broke.
It's a closed loop.
Yeah. If an agentic AI is coding the game in the background via Windsurf, and then another AI is writing the review for the game to tell us if it's good or not, are humans even part of the loop anymore? Or are we just the electricity paying to keep the servers running?
It raises a valid question about the purpose of consumer technology. We really are building closed loop systems, and it is not limited to small indie titles either.
No, not at all.
The sources confirm AI is being heavily integrated into massive flagship properties like GTA 6. We're also seeing the real-world legal friction of these autonomous systems.
Like the Tesla trial.
Exactly. On May 7th, there was a historic Tesla AI trial, testing the legal liabilities of what happens when autonomous algorithms make a mistake in the physical world.
And the market is reacting violently to all this uncertainty. Just look at NVIDIA. Their stock actually dropped because of OpenAI's Sora Live announcement.
Which is really interesting.
Which seems completely counterintuitive to me. I mean, NVIDIA makes the chips that power these AI models. Why would a leap in OpenAI's video generation capability cause panic for the hardware manufacturer?
Because of the sheer volatility of software optimization. Investors worry that if software models become too efficient, or if a new architecture is introduced that bypasses current hardware dependencies, the demand for traditional processing power might shift overnight.
Oh, wow. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah. However, the reality on the ground right now is quite the opposite.
Because right now, the software is definitely not perfectly optimized. When you have agentic AI generating millions of lines of code and uncompressed assets in the background, you get bloated software.
Massive bloat, yeah.
Which creates a perfect causal chain right into our second segment. Because these invisible AI employees are generating so much data, they are creating a literal crisis in the physical hardware that you and I have to buy. The hardware bloat.
The software is expanding much faster than the physical constraints of our devices can handle.
Let's look at the May 8th headline that completely made my jaw drop. The Tekken blog reports that Call of Duty now requires a 400 gigabyte SSD.
It's staggering.
400 gigabytes. I want to relate this directly to anyone listening. To play one single game, you now have to dedicate a piece of physical storage hardware that costs roughly $80.
Just for one title.
Yeah. You aren't just buying software anymore. You are surrendering physical real estate and hard-earned money just to store it.
It perfectly illustrates the hardware bloat crisis.
Yeah.
Game engines are incorporating high-fidelity AI-generated assets, uncompressed audio, and complex machine learning algorithms that have to run locally on your machine.
Right.
So the file sizes are ballooning exponentially.
And it is bottlenecking the entire industry. The Tekken blog outlines massive price hikes for both the PS5 and the upcoming Switch 2.
Yeah, the hardware costs are just climbing.
We've got an Apple-Intel alliance trying to stabilize the processor market, but I keep seeing this term, the Samsung HBM4 disaster. What exactly is HBM4, and why is a disruption there such a big deal for us?
HBM4 stands for High Bandwidth Memory, Generation 4. To understand it, think of a computer processor as a massive, hyper-fast factory.
Okay, a factory.
But a factory is useless if you can't get the raw materials in and the finished products out. HBM4 is essentially an ultra-wide, high-speed, multi-lane highway built directly on top of the factory.
Ah, I see.
It allows massive amounts of data to travel to the AI chips instantly. When Samsung experiences a supply chain disaster with HBM4, it means the highway is shut down.
So nothing gets through.
Right. The AI chips can't get their data. The game consoles can't render their complex worlds, and the entire global supply chain bottlenecks, which drives prices through the roof.
That makes total sense. And the blog's gaming tips section really reflects this new, harsh reality. Like, they used to just give fun tips, but now they are advising readers to use an SSD to reduce loading times and aim for 60 FPS using adjustable DPI gaming mice and mechanical keyboards.
It's become a necessity.
Exactly. With a 400 gigabyte game file, an SSD isn't a tip for a slightly better experience anymore. It's a mandatory survival tactic. If you don't have it, the game simply will not run.
No, it won't.
Which leads me to ask, with console prices hiking, supply chains failing, and single games taking up half a terabyte of expensive solid-state storage, are we reaching a breaking point where the average person is just going to be priced out of digital entertainment entirely?
The market is currently fracturing into two extremes to address that very question.
Yeah.
On the premium end, the sources show consumers treating tech like high-end luxury infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely.
Gamers are buying $15,000 home robots and utilizing Apple Cold Wallets, which are physical devices disconnected from the internet, just to safely store their digital assets.
Which is insane money for a hobby.
It is. Hardware companies are catering to this with extreme engineering, like the fully fanless Razer laptop, which manages incredible thermal output without moving parts, or the high-end Valve-Deckard standalone VR headset. We even see leaks about PlayStation 6 backward compatibility, suggesting people are investing in libraries they expect to maintain for decades.
What about the person who just wants to play a game after work and, you know, doesn't have a small fortune to spend on a fanless laptop?
For them, the industry is pushing the opposite extreme. the announcement of a $99 Xbox dongle. It is a low-cost stick you plug into a monitor.
Oh, like a streaming stick.
Exactly. You don't store that 400 gigabyte file locally. You rely entirely on cloud streaming. The heavy lifting is done on Microsoft servers, and you are just receiving a video feed of the game.
So you either buy a $15,000 robot and massive physical storage, or you buy a $99 stick and essentially rent your entertainment from the cloud.
That's the divide, yeah.
But here is the connective tissue. Whether you are streaming your games from a corporate server or storing your Apple Cold Wallet in a safe, you are still constantly connected to the network. And as people invest heavily in these digital ecosystems, they become incredibly lucrative targets.
Extremely lucrative.
Which brings us to the news from May 5th through the 8th. We aren't just talking about hardware anymore. We are looking at the new cyber battleground.
The speed of technological advancement in cybersecurity is genuinely alarming. Traditional defenses are failing against next-generation threats.
Yeah.
The Tekin Morning Update on May 6th reported something monumental. The world's first quantum ransomware attack.
Quantum ransomware. I see the word quantum thrown around in sci-fi movies all the time. But in terms of me sitting at my computer, what does a quantum cyber attack actually do differently than a normal hack?
To put it simply, traditional encryption is like a padlock with a trillion different combinations.
Okay.
A standard, highly advanced computer trying to hack that padlock has to test every single combination sequentially, one by one.
So that would take forever.
It would take standard computers thousands of years to pick the lock. A quantum computer, because of the way it processes information at a subatomic level, can theoretically test all trillion combinations simultaneously.
Oh, wow. So the padlock just instantly pops open.
Yes. A quantum ransomware attack implies that bad actors are now leveraging this technology to bypass standard, highly secure defenses instantly, lock down critical systems, and demand payment.
That is terrifying.
And it is clearly part of a broader systemic failure. That same day, 10 million passwords were stolen in a major password manager breach.
10 million. We also see the massive Coinbase hack mentioned, and references to a broader ocean cyber war escalating in the background. It feels like a complete siege on digital infrastructure.
It really is a siege.
But what is truly fascinating to me is how the corporations are fighting back and the collateral damage that causes for the consumer. On May 7th, the blog reported on Nintendo's brutal countermeasure.
Yeah, this was highly controversial.
They aren't just sending out cease and desist letters to hackers. They are actively, remotely bricking the consoles of users who modify their hardware.
Bricking meaning they send a permanent software kill switch that renders the physical device completely inoperable. It becomes a plastic brick.
Yes. And let me push back on this because it absolutely blew my mind. If a massive corporation can remotely and permanently destroy a physical piece of hardware, a box that you bought with your own money that sits in your own living room, just because you altered the software on it, do we actually own any of this tech?
That's the big question.
Or are we just renting permission to use it until the company decides we broke the rules?
That is the core debate of modern digital ownership, and the sources highlight the complexity of both sides.
Yeah.
From Nintendo's perspective and the developer's perspective, modifying the hardware enables piracy and software cheating.
Right.
This directly damages their ecosystem, drains their revenue, and ruins the experience for legitimate players.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer view the console as a standalone toy you own. They view it as a licensed access terminal to their proprietary network.
And the other side.
From the consumer rights perspective,
yeah.
Physical ownership has historically implied the right to modify, repair, and control the object you purchased.
Because it's yours, you bought it.
Right. When a corporation exercises a remote kill switch on a physical device, it signifies that traditional software security models have completely failed. So companies are resorting to absolute scorched earth enforcement at the hardware level.
It's terrifying. Hackers using quantum computers to target 10 million passwords is bad enough. Corporations holding a remote kill switch to the physical items in our homes is worse.
And it goes further.
It does. This logical progression leads us somewhere even darker, because the hardware is no longer just a box sitting on your TV stand. When standard security fails, the technology moves past our fingertips. It moves onto our bodies and eventually into our minds.
This is the ultimate shift.
Here's where it gets really interesting, the final segment of our deep dive. The ultimate frontier of brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs.
This is perhaps the most profound shift chronicled in this 5-day window. We are observing the transition from external interfaces like keyboards, mice, and screens to direct biological integration.
The May 9th updates are wild. We've got $399 cybernetic haptic suits hitting the mainstream market. Twitch is rolling out biometric hardware shopping. How does that even work?
It utilizes hardware to read your physical reactions. Instead of relying on you to click an ad, biometric shopping uses cameras or wearables to track your pupil dilation, your heart rate, or your micro-expressions while you watch a stream.
That is crazy.
It gauges your genuine, involuntary, physiological interest in a product and serves you purchasing options based on your body's reaction.
That is incredible and incredibly invasive. And it goes deeper. The sources detail Project Orion boasting actual brain control capabilities where your neural signals manipulate the digital environment.
Yes, direct neural manipulation.
But naturally, humanity immediately finds a way to exploit it. Okay. The blog discusses the dark side of this tech, something called neurodoping in esports.
Neurodoping is a fascinating consequence of DCI technology. In traditional competitive gaming, players use software cheats like aimbots to gain an unfair advantage.
Right, the usual hacks.
But as we discussed, software anti-cheat is getting extremely aggressive. So the battlefield shifts from hacking the software to hacking the human.
I usually hear this compared to athletes taking steroids.
Yeah,
but based on how this actually works, it's less like growing physical muscles and more like removing the speed limit software on a sports car.
That's a good way to look at it.
Like, your brain naturally has a slight delay, a biological firewall between seeing an enemy on the screen, processing that information, and sending the electrical signal down your arm to click the mouse. Neurodoping uses microelectric BCI pulses to literally bypass your body's biological firewall.
Right. That is a highly accurate way to frame it. They're using neurostimulation hardware to enhance focus, suppress the sensation of fatigue, and artificially decrease the milliseconds it takes for the brain to execute a physical command.
Wow.
It blurs the line between inherent human skill and external technological enhancement in a way regulatory bodies have never had to manage before.
But the implications go so far beyond whether someone is cheating in a video game. The Tekken blog highlights the ultimate privacy nightmare of this hardware integration. They call it brain theft.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we can clearly see the gravity of brain theft. Think about what we discussed earlier, the 10 million stolen passwords.
Mm-hmm.
If a password is stolen, it is a massive inconvenience, but you can change it. If your Apple Cold Wallet is breached, you lose financial assets, which is devastating, but it is external to you.
Right. It's just stuff.
Exactly. When a BCI headset connects directly to your neural pathways, the data it collects is fundamentally different.
It's not a password you memorized. It's you.
Exactly. It is your biological baseline. It is your attention span, your emotional fluctuations, your stress responses, and your subconscious impulses.
Unbelievable.
When you are navigating a virtual world or biometric shopping on Twitch, the BCI is reading how your brain responds to stimuli milliseconds before you are even consciously aware of your own feelings.
And if someone steals that?
If that data stream is intercepted or stolen, if we experience a massive patient, brain theft data, breach hackers aren't just stealing what you know. They are stealing the core architectural data of how you think and how you feel.
It is the ultimate violation of privacy. And suddenly, that $399 price tag for a cool cybernetic gaming suit feels less like a bargain and more like a biological trap.
It's a huge vulnerability.
It really is. We have covered a staggering amount of ground decoding just 5 days of news from the Tekken Game blog. We started with invisible agentic AI employees autonomously writing code and taking over corporate boardrooms.
Yeah, that feels like a lifetime ago.
Doesn't it? We followed the causality of that massive data generation to the physical crisis of 400 gigabyte game files and the harsh economics of hardware bloat. We navigated the treacherous new waters of quantum ransomware, instantly creating defenses, and we ended up at neurodoping and the theft of our own subconscious minds.
It all connects.
It does. I want you to keep this entire journey in mind as you look at building your own digital life. As you buy the mechanical keyboards, upgrade your SSDs, and consume digital media, you need to be intensely aware of how much of yourself, your money, and your biology you are plugging into the machine.
The boundary between the human user and the technological platform is no longer a solid line. It is highly porous, and in many of these applications, it is disappearing entirely.
So what does this all mean? Where do we go from here when the technology is moving this fast?
Consider this intersection of the sources. We discussed the world's first quantum ransomware attack breaking into complex systems instantly.
Right.
And we just discussed everyday users strapping on BCI headsets that read and interact with their actual real-time brainwaves. What happens when those two events merge?
Oh, man.
What happens when a quantum cyber attack targets a BCI network while millions of users are actively wearing the hardware? Could the cyber warfare of tomorrow involve locking down a neural interface?
That is a terrifying thought.
Imagine hackers holding your own cognitive clarity, your emotional regulation, or your sensory input hostage, feeding you blinding white noise or sheer panic until you pay a ransom. It is no longer just your data or your hardware at risk. The next frontier of cybersecurity is defending your perception of reality itself.